You're listening to Full Guard Fight Radio. Fight Radio. Fight Radio. Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. This is Full Guard Fight Radio. I am your host, Jason London, with my man, the madman, Carl Mortensen. Carl, this is the show you and I have been waiting for... How do I say forever? Can I just say forever? We have Mark Pavlich, who always gets me fired up on the eve, on the cusp of MFC 40, May 9th. And we also have Adam the Woo, urban adventurer. This guy is an animal. This guy is a freak. He is incredible, and I'm super stoked to talk to him and Mark. Couldn't be happier. And, of course, I get to start off the night with you. How are you, my friend?
Oh, what a treat it is to start off the night with me. It must just be the highlight of your week.
I look so forward to starting off every Tuesday speaking to Carl the Madman Mortensen. How's it going, my man? What's new in the asylum?
What's new in the asylum? Well, where to start? Skippy is now a full partner of MMAMadhouse.com. I'm very happy about that. And other than that, you know, we're just doing the regular old grind.
You know what, Carl? I saw that yesterday on Facebook, and I couldn't have been happier to hear the announcement. And, you know, when you and I talked a little bit off the air about the announcement, I commend you for doing business like the old school businessmen used to, with a good old handshake. And you know, you work hard and you get things given to you because you earned them, not popularity contests. And you said it. You said it absolutely the best yesterday, and you said Skippy deserves it because he's worked harder than everybody else in Madhouse combined, and I absolutely agree with that, and I couldn't be happier to see that, and I think it's well-deserved. So, you know, well done on your part, and congratulations on Skippy's part.
Yeah, you know, no more vice presidency for Skippy. He's now officially the president of MMA Madhouse. .com, the U.S. chapter, of course, and you know, I'm stepping back a tiny little bit, and you know, I'm going to remain president, but I'm just going to be president of little old Canada. I'll be Prime Minister of Canada.
Prime Minister. Now we have another chapter. We have like an Iceland chapter too, isn't that correct? No, like a
Norway.
Norway, a Norwegian chapter. Can we have different currencies, like a Canadian MMA dollar, MMA Madhouse dollar, and like an American MMA Madhouse dollar, and like a Norwegian MMA Madhouse dollar? Can we do that? Can we figure out something? Because I would like to start collecting these things for my boys and myself. I'm a collector. I like to do things.
Oh, interesting. Interesting concept. Let's mull it over. We'll mull it over. I'll talk to my partner about that.
is that kind of odd for you to say partner a little bit? Is that one of the first times you've actually said that?
No, not really. It's not odd. I don't know if it's one of the first times I've said it or not. As far as I'm concerned, Skippy's been a partner for a very long time.
Yeah, it was just
time to make things a little more official.
Listen, Carl, man, we got a big show tonight. We got Mark Pavlich, who always cranks it up, who, you know, is probably one of the best guests and one of the best people to deal with, and who does so much with MMA Madhouse. I mean, he's coming up in a huge fight. We only got him for a very short time tonight, and he's the one that's got to stay within his time frame. My man likes to get out and get fired up. So we'll see if he can stay within his time frame. Super pumped to talk to him. Adam Tabu, one of the coolest names around, first of all. Probably one of the coolest guys. I've got a great gig. We're going to talk to him tonight, find out kind of what makes him tick, kind of see the way, you know, how he does what he does. So I'm super psyched about that, man. You got a little one on your side that's looking forward to Adam Tabu as well. And, you know, you've had to do some different things in your life due to Adam Tabu. Is that correct, Carl?
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah, you know, my beautiful 9-year-old daughter has decided, you know, she wants to be an urban explorer. And, you know, we opened up a YouTube channel for her, and we went out a couple times now and, you know, she had a blast in the world of video games and, you know, avoiding your parents. It's been a blessing in disguise for sure.
I guess being an urban explorer, there could be worse things to be than an urban explorer. I actually think that it's one of the coolest things that you can kind of do. I actually, as I was watching the videos last night, Adam Tabu, we're going to talk to him in depth, in depth later on here in the show, but the guy has hundreds, I would venture to say, videos of exploring, you know, the places around, abandoned places, Disney, he does a lot, you know, just different things. And we're going to get in and talk to Adam about that a little bit later on. But it was funny to see for me, because I'm down here in South Florida, I'm looking through his vast list of, you know, of places he's been and adventures he's been on. But it was funny for me to see one of them was literally in my backyard, 6 minutes away, 15 minutes most, really, truly, right up Martin Luther King Boulevard. So it was very funny, and as I was watching the video, a lot of those places I deal with on a daily basis. So very cool stuff to see. I can't wait to talk to Adam. I have so many questions. Watching this video, I have so many questions. One, do you ever get bit by any crazy stuff? Because my man is traveling in some, you know, pretty thick brush and things like that. But so I'm looking forward to talking to him about that. But and it was funny today when you said that your daughter wanted to start her own adventure. And I think it's great. 9 years old, man, she's got a whole life ahead of her, man. She's going to have thousands and thousands and thousands of videos, so that's pretty awesome. So we're going to talk to Adam a little bit later on about that and kind of see how he got started, where he came from, you know, what challenges he's going to have next and how he decides on where he's going to be. But first, probably one of my all-time favorite guests that I've ever talked to, that I've ever dealt with, the owner, president, the man, the myth behind the MFC. Got a huge show coming up May 9th. Can't wait to pick my guest's brain about this, because he has a vast knowledge of MMA wealth. So without further ado, Mark Pavlich, thanks for joining us tonight. I appreciate it. How are you, my friend?
Guys, I'm elated. I'm overjoyed. I'm overcome. I'm blessed. I'm lucky. I don't know enough adjectives to give you on how I feel at this moment in time. Amen.
I was just going to say, my man starts the show off with 700 different adjectives. I've heard it all now, man. Mark, I get so fired up when you're on the show, man. How is the preparation for MFC 40 going? Is that over? We're ready to go for – you're looking at MFC 41, or where are we at in the planning process of this?
No, man. This, you know, usually our family does that. We're always on to the next and next and next and next and next. But this is such a monumental show. It's number 40. And we thought to ourselves that we're going to treat it with that type of respect, because we do have a show scheduled for the rest of the year and those type of things, but we're really just focusing on this show right here. I mean, there's some real pivotal things going on. You know, we have some really cool new stuff coming. We have our enormous new entranceway that's probably too big. I've never been good at measuring. So, I mean, it's just, you know, like, it's gigantic. I think it's like 40 feet high by 40 feet long. And you're going to see it on Access TV if it actually fits into the venue, because, of course, I eyeballed it. And I'm like, yeah, just make it 40 by 40, you know. Like, I have no handiness in my body whatsoever. And I just think that everything looks too small to me. So I'm like, I just want to oversize it.
Fair enough. Mark, now, is that like one of your, like, are you just laying in bed one night and you're like, I'm going to make the biggest entranceway I can get my hands on? Is that kind of like a baby that you create and you're just like, whatever, let's make it work? Or is that something that you and the team get together and are like, what else can we do different? We have the ring. We have incredible fights. You know, we put on great shows. I mean, where else do you go, Mark?
No, but I was laying in bed one night. I was laying in bed one night, and I put it on a piece of paper. I'm not a very good drawer, but I'm like, I want it to look like this. I want it to have a tunnel, and I want it to be this big. And I was like, I have no clue about sizes. And I even from day one, and Yokohama, one of our huge sponsors, Yokohama Tires, they said, hey, man, Mark, what's your vision on this? You know, and I'm like, this is what I'm looking at. And they go, we'll build it. And I'm like, you're kidding. And they're like, no. And I was like, I just lost it. I'm like, see, that I'm blessed, man. Like, I tell everybody, I hate to sound and talk like that all the time because people go, oh, you know, he's just saying that. I'm no, man, I'm telling you. I got great friends now. I got great sponsors. I got, you know, and I just envision it. And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll get that made for you. Like, and it's just being delivered now. And I saw a picture of it, and it was in China, and there was a guy standing underneath it, and I was hoping he was like 7 feet tall, because I was like, but then I found out he was 5'5", and I was like, oh my God, this thing is so big. But it's like I said, I want things to be cool for people when they come to the show. See, people are misconstruing. I love MMA, there's no question, but there's something I love way more than that, and that is I want fans to never think that I'm not giving them what they paid for. And to me, I know it sounds corny, but that's always been on my mind. I just don't want anybody to ever come and go, oh, you know, I paid $95 for a ticket, or I paid $250 for a ticket, and it really wasn't worth it, you know. And I don't want that. I know hokey it is and everything, but I sit up at night, man, and that bothers me. I just want people to be happy. I want. You know, I'm more of a service person. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm like,
right. Like
if you put me in a restaurant tomorrow, I would be the guy like asking him, hey, how can I make your food better? You know, like I like that, you know.
Right.
When I'm at the show, I'm not your typical promoter sitting at ringside, you know, jumping up and down. I do on occasion go there when title fights are on and stuff like that. But most of the time I'm walking around talking to the fans and taking pictures with people. I still get a kick out of that. People want to take pictures with me. I'm like, wow, that's just so cool, you know. I'm like, let's take pictures, you know. Like, I and I've been doing this for 14, 15 years. I still feel like that.
You know, Mark, you answered it a little bit, but I want to ask the question. Is that something, I mean, you're 14 or 15 years. I mean, you're a veteran in this sport, and I mean, let's not kid ourselves. You know, you're prime. Is this something you lose sleep about? Is this something that really drives you? Not so much the fights, because you put on incredible fights, and you have an incredible product, and you have a huge entranceway now, too. But is it really important? I mean, do you lose sleep over the fan feel, the fan appeal, I guess, of your product?
No question. That's the number one thing I lose sleep about. I mean, it's never been about, like, fighters or that type of stuff. Never. I just always want fans to, you know, when I'm walking around and stuff, and I want people to look and go, you know, hey, man, I've been to his show, and it's so sick. And, you know, I was in the show at, you know, when it was here, I was here. And I that's what I care about, man. I'm like, you know, I never wanted to be in this business to be popular, famous. Like, that was not even remotely on my mind, you know. It's funny because people say, oh, you know, like, I have all these people on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all these things like that. I'm like beyond surprised by that kind of stuff. You know, because all I ever wanted to do was put on really cool shows for people. And then for you know, at one time it was like, I didn't even care if we made money at it. I was just doing it because I loved it so much. I wanted people to see what I saw. And then I started making money with it, and it was like I was putting it back into the show for the first 5-6 years. I never spent any money. You know, I was like, just put it back in the show. Let's get our own ring. Let's get our own cage. Let's get our own this. Let's get, you know, and that's what we did. And, you know, I kind of still feel like that. You know, it's like, I don't know, man. It's like, I'm not competing with nobody. That's what I realize now after 15 years too, which I'm not the fastest learner in the world, but I'm not competing with nobody. You know, anybody that says they're competing against me, you're an idiot, because it's impossible to compete against me, because I'm not aware of what's going on in the rest of the world. I'm only aware of what's going on in Maximum Fighting World. And I know that's maybe doesn't make a lot of sense to people, but, like, you know, I know that the UFC is the biggest show in the world, but I don't, I watch it. I didn't watch the last one. I didn't watch the one before that. You know, I watch very rarely their show. Now, they're the best in the world. There's no question in the world that, that they are. But I watch the Maximum Fighting Championship, man. I still love watching boxing. You know, I do. I love boxing. I've always loved boxing. I started watching Monday Night Raw. My son turned me back onto that now. He's like, come on, Dad, let's watch Monday Night Raw. And now I watch Monday Night Raw. And it's like, people get it wrong, man. I'm not some dude that just, like, I started this sport in my country. Right, I'm not some guy that came along, Johnny Come Lately, and said, "Oh, I want to get into mixed martial art business." I started this. Nobody knew what it was. Do you understand? I was standing on the street corner telling everybody MMA, and they're like, "What is MMA?" And I was like, "It's mixed martial arts." And people are like, "What's that?" And I'm like, and then I'd have to explain it to everybody every day, 50 times a day for 15 years, you know, and it's it that's what I'm talking about. So it's, I have a different mindset than most people do in this industry. It's like, none of these guys were around. Just Dana White and the, you know, those guys, they were around. That's it. Nobody else was around. And the reason why I've been bitter for 15 years is because a lot of new shows come in, and a lot of American press, not, and Canadian press, deem this show to be the next big thing. And I've always been kind of, what's the word, you know, like, that's a turnoff to me, because I know that they're not going to last. I see how stupid they are with spending money, and they're going to fail. And I can name you the 55 of them that have failed, you know, that everybody thought they were going to be the next big thing.
Yep, absolutely. You know what, Mark, you kind of touched on a little bit of my next question throughout that answer there. You know, please don't be offended by this, because this is not a shot. Does it come a point with your obsession in making sure people enjoy themselves and get the bang for the buck, that you run the risk of making it seem like a WWE, like a Monday Night Raw, because you put out great product marketing. Let's not kid ourselves. The product inside your ring is incredible. Fight the fight is an awesome product. But sometimes, do you worry? Is that another thing that you kind of really rack your brain with? That, am I doing too much to make sure that we have the, you know, the biggest entranceway and you know, the lights and the music and the sound? Does that ever come into play with you, or is it just
no?
Like,
because
you know,
I'm never. Ours is real, so we are real. That's the difference. My obsession is with, you know, I want, like, really cool video screens, and I want really cool production while you're watching the show inside.
Sure.
And I want people to know what's going on inside, and I don't want them looking around going, what's coming next? I want them to see cool stuff going on. And that's always kind of been my makeup of stuff. You know, to be honest with you, if I had it my way, I would put the show on, have everybody set it up, I would watch the prelims, and then I would go home to watch the rest of it on television. That would be the perfect scenario for me. I would open a bottle of Dom Perignon, which is my favorite champagne. I would sit by myself with my wife, and I would love to sit and watch on television what I created. Because I'm almost disgustingly honest with myself, and that's a problem, because if something's not right, or something doesn't sound right, or you know, that's, I know. I'm not the guy who goes, oh yeah, that was awesome, that was great. No, I don't need anybody to tell me. I know. That's one thing I've been brutally honest with myself when it comes to this product.
Yeah, please, Mark, don't feel like I was ever saying that your product is not real.
I didn't take it that way. I just feel like, you know, I've always had the defense mechanism ingrained in me about everything. Do you know what I'm saying? Is like, do you understand that I was the originator of people asking questions 15 years ago saying, hey, it's like cockfighting, isn't it? Like two chickens fighting and stuff like that. And I was the guy answering, telling them, hey, you know what, man? I'm not going to answer those kind of stupid questions anymore.
Sure.
And they were like, well, what do you mean you're not going to answer that kind of question anymore? I'm like, no, I'm not going to answer that no more, man, because this is something that I love, and this is something that I do. Do you understand that? How can I explain this to you? Bjorn Rebney, the people from World Series of Fighting, those kind of shows, you can't talk to them, and they can't understand me. How come they can't understand me? Because we're talking about two different things. I'm different from them. Because why? They weren't around telling people, hey, this is mixed martial arts. I was. Right? You understand, like, people don't get it. That's my frustration. I'm not saying you have to build a statue of me or my family. I'm just saying is a little bit of respect would have been nice along the way from people. But
sure.
They didn't do that. They wanted to kind of, like, shun us down. And that's what's always made me this aggressive and to attack back, because they all came late after the, you know, 8 years of begging, pleading, informing people about the sport of mixed martial arts.
Right. So they're like the little brother after the big brother kind of paves the way with mom and dad, and they're able to stay out late at night because you've done all the work and they're here to reap the benefits.
But you know what? It's not just reap the benefits. They pretended like they invented it. And that's the offensive part,
true.
Right?
That's true.
And it's that's all I'm saying, right? Listen, just say it one time, and you watch how peaceful I could become. It's almost comical. You'd laugh if you saw me at church on Sunday. You'd be like, is this not Martel? Is this it? Yeah, because I'm not like, that's not in my DNA. But what is in my DNA is the relentlessness to get respect. It's like, it's just, I need it. I thrive for it. I have to have it. I got it from most of our fans. I got it from all our sponsors. I got it from my family, and I got it from my friends. This is a key component. The other one that I've always been missing, though, is from people that own other shows. Yes, I don't like you. Yes, you don't like me. That does not change the fact what our family's done for the sport of mixed martial arts over the last 15 years.
Mark, I couldn't have said that any better myself. And unfortunately, I've never had an opportunity to sit in a venue and watch one of your shows. I've seen as many as I can get my hands on YouTube and in the television and things. But hopefully that's going to change. The last time you and I have had a chance to talk, you were talking about you were lobbying Las Vegas to try to get some stuff started down there. Can you inform us a little bit on how things are going with that?
Well, we're in the process of, you know, applying for our license. At the same time, we're not desperate for anything. You know,
sure.
I say it now
well,
all
I'm
the
desperate.
Time now. We're not desperate. It's like
I am,
people,
though, Mark. I'm begging, please get your butt down here to the United States.
I know,
it's
but you know what the difference is? Our economy where we live is phenomenal. We're so blessed to live in Alberta, Canada, where you can charge $600 for people to sit in the front row. There's nowhere in the United States I can charge $600 for people to sit in the front row. I mean, our cheapest ticket is $65, and you're sitting at the top row. And that's
right.
What I try to tell people. I can't get that kind of money in the United States. And also, too, you know, Access TV is a great sponsor of ours, but you look at our brand, we only have one or two American sponsors. The rest of them are all Canadian and big companies in Canada.
Right. Yeah, I just was so excited. Actually, last week we had, let me tell you what, man, you guys always give us the best guests. I have some of the best conversations with your fighters, man. I've had a chance to talk to a few in the last couple of weeks, and I was every time they're off the air, I'm just like, and there's another reason why Mark Pavlich and the Pavlich family are doing such good things, because the product you guys have is incredible, but it starts with the people that you hire. So I was talking to Carl last week about maybe I was so excited about the possibility of being able to get to a show. I can't afford to come up to Alberta, Canada. I don't even know if I'll be able to get in. I'm not a felon, but they don't want me up there. But to come to Las Vegas, it would be so much better. I mean, it would be so much cheaper and so much more economical for me, but so, you know, the economics would just not be the best for you. So,
well, you know, I honestly think that Americans in general would be elated because we have so many American fans. It's crazy. My wife and I walk in Las Vegas and people stop us in casinos because they know who we are in the States. It's crazy. And we think it's funny, and it's like at the same time as you imagine doing a show at the Joint at the Hard Rock. And listen, Joint at the Hard Rock, we both know what we want, okay? Let's make the deal. Let's get this done. Listen, my pockets are out of my jeans. I'm telling people, that's exactly the only place I want to go in Las Vegas to put on a show is the Hard Rock. I want the MFC to be the show that's in the Hard Rock. No other MMA shows. You watch what happens when the MFC goes there for the first time and how many people show up to watch in Las Vegas. It will be Mardi Gras. It will be NASCAR. It will be WWE WrestleMania, all wrapped up to one ball at the Hard Rock, because you're going to have people from Canada coming there. You're going to have people from all over the states coming there to watch the inaugural show after 15 years in Las Vegas, Nevada. Could you imagine? The time we would have would be legendary. It would be insanity.
I'm going to tell you right now, as soon as I see that press release going that you guys have hit Las Vegas, I'm booking my flight, my hotel, and buying my tickets, Mark. I cannot wait to see you guys.
Everybody, I know that. That's what kills me, because I know that will happen. It's like people talk. They all talk. They talk. I have how many fighters under my roster from Nevada, how many fighters I have under my roster from California. It would be cheaper for us to put a show on in Las Vegas than in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. There's no question. Access TV will come to Las Vegas to film it. I mean, the scenario is unbelievable. But like I said, you know, keep putting these yo-yo shows inside and finding out that there's no real element of excitement, because those people can't get excited about their own product. So how are they going to get other people excited about their product when they can't even get excited about it?
Absolutely. So, Mark, do you have any idea, any time frame when you're planning, maybe not planning a show, but when you think a show might hit the States?
Well, I apply for a license in Nevada. They say it takes up to 6 months to get it. You know, I don't think it should be a big ordeal.
Okay.
You know, well, like I said, I don't want to say anything because I don't know, but I've been very open about it, telling people that that's where I want to go. We've been in talks with them as well. Like I said, I'm not going to die one way or another, but we want to do it, and we don't want to go touring all over the United States. We want to go to the Hard Rock in Las Vegas, hang out by the pool. We want that to be our second home, and then eventually we want it to be our, you know, split between Alberta and Las Vegas. And I'm telling you, there's a direct correlation from where I live to Las Vegas. The number one destination for Albertans is Las Vegas, Nevada. Number one destination. It is crazy.
It's going to be for this Floridian, too, when you guys start going there. Listen, you got MFC 40 coming up, man. It's going to be a great card. You lost kind of a little luster when Adam Berchek was injured. Did that kind of bum you out a little bit?
Well, it bumps me out because he's been such a poster child for the Maximum Fighting Championship.
Agreed.
You know, that's what I feel bad about. I know I was going to replace it. I know I'm going to fix it. I know I'm going to make it really cool. That's never been a problem with our family doing stuff like that. But Berchak, to me, is he just turned out to be so awesome with the organization. Mm-hmm. He's such a poster guy for the Maximum Fighting Championship. People ask him questions about other organizations. He says, well, are you crazy, man? I fight in the Maximum Fighting Championship. He's always done that. Sam Elvey's always done that. Andrew McInnes has always done that. I have a lot of guys like that now, and that's what makes us more dangerous, because these guys aren't talking about other shows. They're talking about the Maximum Fighting Championship, and Berchak is at the top of that list.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, man, 2 weeks ago we talked to a guy, Tom Galicchio, fighting on your MSC 40 card, and let me tell you what, man, I you know, being in the business, you know, I always ask, you know, you guys get the same questions. What are you doing for this? What happens when that? But that guy, I'll tell you what, man, you guys up there in the MSC put together great cards because of the people that you surround yourself with. This guy is a comedian, stand-up comedian. He's a, you know, seems to be a down-to-earth guy. You know, it never crosses my mind. Some of these guys, you know, I'm always thinking that these guys have supports all over the place, and moms and dads and husbands and wives and girlfriends. But it just amazes me that Tom Galicchio is a guy that is very – very much a loner, very much out in California, kind of by himself. And he was such a flag carrier for the MFC a couple weeks ago. He was very proud to be in your organization, very proud to fight for you guys. And I was very impressed with him. And it's just guy after guy after guy that we talk to, Mark, that says these things about you guys. Is that something you also pride yourself on? Something you also
no question
hang your head?
Yeah, man. 100%. How can you not? Right? I mean, it's like, you know, these guys talk like that, and it's like I feel pressured on me because I want them to understand. You know, there's no secret about that either, though. People know that. I'm not that chummy with fighters, and I'm not, but one thing they all know is that I have such a deep respect for them listen, in general, I'm not chummy with anyone. I have a handful of really close friends, and that's my crew of people I hang out with, and that's it. Fighter-wise, too, it's like I have such a great respect for them and admiration, and I show them my respect by promoting the crap out of them. That's my job. My job is just not to promote the Maximum Fighting Championship, but it's to promote the actual fighter, to promote guys like Marcus Edwards that people never really knew before, but the guy's an absolute phenom. To promote guys like Kevin Kroom, Victor Valimaki, Kurt Southern, Galecchio, Elvey, Swofford. No, that's what I do. You know, kids on the undercard that people don't know, like the Corey Gowers, kid John Bernard, coming from Hawaii, he's going to be fighting on the undercard. Those are the kind of guys that a kid, his pro debut, which we do, people don't know this either. We don't brag about it too often, but since, you know, we've been doing it for 15 years, we started doing it now, and we've always started off the Maximum Fighting Championship with two guys in their pro debut. That's been like that for 15 years. Most people don't know that because we don't post their records, but we've always done that for 15 years. No matter how big the show is, the people on the undercard, the first fight of the night, is always two guys on their pro debut.
You know, I never noticed that. I never knew that, Mark.
Nobody knows that. I talked about it one time before, and people thought I was kidding, and I'm like, no. I always got a kick out of watching the pro debut guys in the dressing room with guys like Sam Elvey, with guys like Kurt Southern, Galecchio, Valimakis, you know, and I've always got such a kick out of seeing them in that dressing room. And they've seen these guys with records like 17-4, 13-2, 21-6. And then they're sitting there in the dressing room, and it's just such a cool thing because the class guys that I have in my organization walk over to that guy, know it's his pro debut, and I see them do it all the time, and I'm telling you, it gets to me every time when I see guys like Sam Elvey come over to the kid and say, okay, bro, just remember, breathe, get out there and, you know, give it all you got and blah, blah, blah. But that's the kind of stuff that goes on in the Maximum Fighting Championship. And let me tell you something. We don't have guys under contract that they're still pro debut. So on occasion when that fight falls through, say someone gets hurt or whatever, it's a nightmare for us to try to replace it because we don't have anybody under contract that can fight them.
Sure. That's incredible. And, you know, it just goes to show what kind of people the MFC is and in turn, your family. Now, I saw something on Twitter the other day that says after MFC 40, the Pavlich family's taking a vacation. You got a destination in mind, Mark, or is it just something to fly by the –
we'll talk about it right after, but I'm taking Mrs. P to Paris, France in August for her 50th birthday. Yeah, so I arranged that already, and I'm not big on vacations and going places, but I like to go to Vegas, direct flight, you know, and then I come back. But I'm taking her to Paris for 10 days, and I'm going to make sure she has the time of her life. Most people don't know this, too. But, she's such a gigantic part of our business. She doesn't talk to people on radio shows. She doesn't do any interviews for 15. She's done one written interview in 15 years. She will not talk to anybody. We've had the biggest to the smallest people try to talk to her. She has zero interest to talk to anybody about MMA because she's going to tell you she could care less about MMA. The only thing she cares about is the MFC.
Absolutely. I know I only got a couple minutes with you left. I know you're very, very busy. Tell me what fight you're looking most forward to on the MFC 40 card on May 9th.
Well, I'm looking forward to the two title fights, of course, but, I'm looking to the return of Victor Valimaki. I just think I heard so much of what's going on in training camp with him. He's just murdering people, right? And then, of course, you have Aaron Gallant, who has the fastest knockout in MFC history, fighting an explosive fighter like Marcus Edwards. And, that's just got a lot of bad stuff attached to it. Something bad's going to happen in that fight. I mean, there's a lot of this fight card, to be honest with you, for the first time ever, I put it together for me. I never think about myself when I put this show together, but I'm going to be as honest as I could possibly be and transparent as possible. I put a lot of these fights together for the sole purpose of myself. I thought after 40 shows that I deserve to watch the type of fighting I want to watch. Like Wes Swofford against Sam Elvey. Go research their records and go look at
battle, yeah.
Go look at how they fight. And yeah. You'll understand the madness in my mind that goes on when I put a fight together like Wes Swofford against Sam Alvey. I mean, Sam Alvey's never been knocked out. Never been knocked out in 29 fights. Wes Swofford knocks people out on a constant basis.
Right.
That's why I just love the fight. That's why I put it together. The rematch between Curt Southern and Tom Galecchio after the first fight, Curt Southern yes. smashed the crap out of Galecchio. Galecchio comes back, doesn't lay down, and chokes him out. I mean, that's what I love. I love fights like that. And then, you know, the return of Victor Valimaki. And let me tell you something about Victor Valimaki, everybody. One thing that people don't realize is that I trained him many moons ago when he fought in the UFC. And I told everybody this 10 years ago, and I'm telling you now, there's no fighter on the planet that has the talent that he has. The difference is, Victor mentally, if he's in the game, you're in gigantic trouble. If he's not, then he's just like everybody else. But when he's on, it's trouble. It is so trouble. And when I look at him, when I've seen him lately, he looks very on. His life is very clear, and it's scary to see him like that. I know people training with him, and they're calling me, telling me, Mark, he's like picking me up and just throwing me everywhere. You know, like it's, you know. So that's what I want to hear. Don't forget, we have Shane Campbell from K1. He's starting off the television portion, right? And he's fighting a kid named Jared Burke out of the Lima brothers, Diego and Douglas.
Yep.
He trains with them and Jacal.
Yep.
And so, and then you have Shane Campbell from K1. That's what's starting the show off.
Oh boy,
I can't. So that's for me. You know what I'm saying? It's like I thought to myself, my standard is so high with the stuff I want to see that I think if I do it for myself one time, that fans will understand when they watch this, like what I was thinking about when they see the carnage that's going to come take place May 9th at the Shaw Conference Center, live on Access TV, your home for MMA. I'm 10 days away, and I am so excited that I can't sleep, I don't eat very well, and I just can't wait. And get Access TV, you Americans. Get it as soon as possible if you don't have it. Because when you see what's going to happen May 9th, you're going to understand that there's not just one brand of MMA in the world. There's two.
That's right. Absolutely. Mark, this card is like a 15-car pileup. Mark, I know you got to go, man. I know. I could talk to you all night, my man. So after May 9th, after you guys get back from vacation, you and the whole Pavlich family, I want to get you back on, and we're going to talk about MFC 41 and the big things that are coming with that. Mark, as always, I appreciate having you on. You are a gentleman and a scholar. You put in a great product, and I always look forward to having you on the show, Mark. Thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Thanks for having me on. It's always my pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right, Mark. Have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Pavlich, from the owner, the creator, MFC. Carl, it just doesn't get any better than that, my man. It really doesn't. The guy is so passionate after 15 years. I'm talking about putting the cards together for himself this time, and that is a sick, sick card. He just brushed over the Anna Burchak fight. I knew he was going to say that because he's a good guy. He cares about his fighters. He cares about the way they, you know, he's bummed out that Burchak can't fight. He's bummed out that he can't go and defend the strap. But, you know, it is what it is. And Mark really feels the way that he feels bad. He's genuine, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And I would fight for him in a second. I would run through a wall for that guy. My neighbors are all up. The lights are on. The cops are standing by because they knew he was coming on tonight. And you know, they know he gets me fired up. Now he was a little more tame, though, man. He really was. He was, he could still hear the passion in the fire, but he was very, he's very reserved and held in tonight. So always good to have Mark Pavlich on. Carl, are you still over there? Did he make you run through a wall too?
Can you make this show a little more exciting, man? I'm falling asleep over here.
yeah, right. I just wonder. I feel bad for Mrs. P, man. You got to think that the poor lady's just always like the poor lady probably never gets any sleep. She probably has to sleep on the other side of the house because Mark is up till 5 o'clock in the morning yelling and screaming, putting fights together. Right?
Well, maybe. You never know.
That's my vision of Marquez. No, I mean, you know what, Carl? It's always fun to talk to fighters. It's always cool to talk to different people in the MMA world. But to be honest with you, to have a partnership, to have such a close relationship with any owner of a major promotion is incredible. But I mean, he's really, really a genuine guy. And every time you ask him to come on, every time we ask him to do something, he always comes through short notice. Is able, very flexible. I mean, you just don't find guys like that.
Yeah, no, it's always a pleasure. Hey, I'm I'll be back in a sec.
Okay, I think what Carl's trying to do is either he's trying to finish swallowing because I think he put some food in his mouth and I caught him off guard, or I think he's heading over to pick up Adam the Woo, which I'm super pumped to talk to. Adam is a, I don't know if I should call him a YouTube sensation, but I mean, every video the guy has like 100,000 views, so I would consider him a YouTube sensation. He's an urban adventurer. I always want to say urban traveler, but I know that's not correct. An urban adventurer, visits abandoned places, kind of explores different places. Some cool, cool stuff. We're going to let Adam talk here coming up and tell us, tell us kind of where he gets his inspiration, where he, gets his ideas and things from. For the adventures that he does. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm not 100% what time he's going to be joining us, but in the meantime, I know we talked a little bit about it earlier to start the show. Carl made the announcement that Skippy Cohen is now partners, 50-50 partners is what I understand, and he is the president of the American chapter, United States chapter. I honestly... I talked to Skippy very briefly. I honestly couldn't be happier. I think the man absolutely deserves it. I think he absolutely does a great job. I think he truly, truly enjoys what he does. And every time, I talk to him, the guy's watching MMA somewhere. But we're gonna mix it up a little bit tonight. Adam Wu, who like I said earlier, is an urban adventurer. Oh, see, I did it again. An urban adventurer. Is going to be joining us, and we're going to pick his brain, kind of see what kind of stuff he does and where he gets his inspiration from. So, Adam, are you with us tonight?
I am 100% with you, man.
Cool. Adam, thanks for joining us. I can hear you all right. Thanks for joining us tonight.
All right, absolutely. I am. I must admit, I'm actually calling you from the depths of Disneyland at the moment.
Oh,
I'm actually in the theme park. So this is a first for me doing a radio call-in inside of Disneyland. So it's a first for me and hopefully for you as well.
Absolutely, it is a first for me. Let me ask you a question. I watched a video last night that said you got booted out of Disneyland. Did they rescind on their expulsion of you?
No, it's actually two separate states. In Florida, I currently am not allowed there until I appeal the ban, which really is not really a ban. People just like to throw that word ban around. It's basically just a trespass warning. And you're allowed to appeal it once a year. So currently, I'm not allowed there. But in California, Orange County in California, they're okay with me being out here. So I come out here pretty often and enjoy the sights and sounds of Disneyland.
Now, Adam, you're a big Disney guy, right? Is that something that you've always enjoyed your whole life, and something you really you really find enjoyment and comfort in?
Oh, absolutely. Since I was a little kid, I've always loved Disney. So it's kind of my second home, just the whole, coming out to Disneyland or Disney World always felt comfortable for me. As a kid, of course, it's just the initial ride, but as you get older, you start to become a fan of the history of Walt Disney and what he created, and it just kind of grows on you. The more you come out, the more you want to come out.
Now, I got to ask, when Carl approached me about having you on the show, he said, listen, I really want to get this guy on. He's really cool. He does a lot of cool stuff. So I did a little research on you. I watched a bunch of your videos. I watched kind of the way you do the things you do. How do you pick the places that you go to?
That's a toughie. Normally, I try to figure out a route of travel. I usually am based out of Florida, even though I'm very rarely there. So I'll figure out a route of how I want to travel based on what states. And I'll pick three or four key, kind of epic spots that I know people are going to really be into or something that I'm really into. And then from there along the route, I'll post on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, ask for suggestions, and a lot of people chime in, or, I'll figure out where I am, If I'm in a town for a certain night, I'll Google what's nearby, or just word of mouth, or I'll ask the locals. It just kind of depends. So a lot of it's half of it's planned, 50% of it's planned, the other 50% of it's just kind of on a whim.
Now, I know you got a trespass warning down here in Florida. I'm down here in Cape Coral, Florida, not far from actually your video in Lehigh Acres there, so I'm not far from there.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
Are you do you have to get permission to come to some of these places? Because I know that you – I mean, some of the places you go to are pretty historic. I saw one of your videos last night with the Branch Davidian Complex, the ground that the Branch
right.
Davidian was – I mean, that's some pretty historic
Absolutely.
Stuff. That's, no, is there some, is there some red tape that you need to jump through?
No, none at all. The way that worked is I just went by there, and originally I was just going to take some pictures from the outside, but the gate was open, so I just went up there, and actually there's actually a new church that's developed on the property where the fire originally was, and
okay.
one of the ministers was there, and he was a pretty kind guy. He's actually in the video, and he showed me around the property and was cool with me taking pictures and some video, and it just kind of happened. Most of it's just kind of impulsive and just, you know, just kind of happens that way. Very, very little of it's planned out in advance. It just kind of whatever happens, happens. And most of the time, you know, if you take the initiative to do something, usually it works out in your favor. And normally it does for me. So that's usually the way it goes.
You seem like a pretty cool guy. You seem like a guy that I like to sit down with and have a beer with. So it's, and my mom always told me growing up, you get more flies with honey than you do vinegar. You seem like a pretty down-to-earth guy. So I can't imagine that you have a hard time going up to somebody and saying, hey, you mind if I just walk around with a video camera?
Yeah, well, one good thing about the camera I use, it's one of the Canon DSLRs that looks like a regular camera, and a lot
sure.
of people don't read those shoot videos. So you can kind of get away with saying, oh, I'm going to take some pictures. But some people are really finicky about video. If you walk up and say, I'm going to video something, people automatically get on the defensive. But if you just say, I want to take some photos, most people are cool with it. And you just kind of stealth mode the video aspect into it, and then it ends up turning out pretty good.
One of the videos I watched last night, one of the coolest ones I watched, besides the one of Lehigh being down here, you actually were at the hotel where they shot one of my favorite movies of all time, the National Lampoon's Vacation scene with Chevy Chase.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great, famous
scene.
Yeah, and one of your buddies in the video started taking his shirt off and stuff. Now, did anybody ask you to jump in the pool or no?
No, none of us jumped in the pool. There was actually some patrons of the hotel swimming in there that were a little bewildered on what was going on. But I would have loved to. I would have loved to recreate that scene. Of course, Christie Brinkley wasn't there, unfortunately. But maybe I would have disrobed if she would have been in the vicinity. But I would.
Now, that's still an active hotel. People can actually go there and rent a room.
Yeah, absolutely. You can rent the room if you can figure out what room it is, and then of course you can swim in the pool. And then the bar in the movie is in there as well, which we tried getting in the video. You can see we tried getting in, but they weren't cool to swimming inside.
Yeah, the guy behind the bar didn't seem like he was too enthused with you guys being in there with a video camera.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, the beauty of an unedited vlog is you just kind of film it. And if you're filming, people get kind of weirded out. So usually most people are pretty nice with you, you know, from the get-go. So.
Now, in your videos, you have a bunch of different people. I saw a Beth in there. I saw a Cody. I hear you reference a bunch of different people. Do you have a crew that you travel with, or is this just a bunch of your friends, or how do you pick and choose, or who do you have in the videos with you?
No, it's definitely not a crew. It's just friends, you know, friends that I've made.
Sure.
In different areas, either in Florida or in California. I pretty much do everything by myself unless someone's hanging out with me that day. They might grab the camera or throw an idea in, but it's pretty much, you know, pretty much all me most of the time when I travel.
Now, let me ask you this, because I watching you go through some of these areas, and, you know, abandoned places are really cool to me. I don't really, you know, I always wonder, like, what happened? How did this place become abandoned and things like that? You go into some pretty freaky places, man. I was a little scared for you in some of the places. Like the one I saw was like a school, and it seemed a little freaky in there, man. Have you ever gotten freaked out a little bit and had to bail?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Never really bail, because it seems like the longer you're in a place, your mind kind of plays tricks on you at the beginning. But after you get comfortable, it really is not as bad. I think it's that initial first 10 or 15 minutes when you're in there. But once you start looping around and going back into rooms you've already been in, you get a little bit more comfortable. It's just that not knowing what's around each corner that really kind of throws you off. But once you get past that, it's not too bad. But
yeah, because I was like, man, I was like feeling a little, I had to turn my light on. You know, I was like, you know, I'm a big guy. I'm like 300 pounds, and I got my light on. I'm like, you know, hiding under the blankets for you, man. I was a little nervous.
Right, yeah. I felt that way. I felt that way many times. The darkness is always the word. Darkness and creepy noises are, even as an adult, still freak me out a little bit for sure.
And you're in a profession that really doesn't allow you to have those nerves because, you, I mean, some of the places you go see are absolutely that way.
I agree. Half the places I probably would not do if I didn't have a camera on me. I think the camera kind of gives me a little bit more gumption and initiative than I would normally have. So if I was just roaming around by myself, I probably wouldn't go in half the places. Something about the camera, it's almost like a Superman cape for me. I just like strap it on and you just go with it. And sometimes the places afterwards, I think, man, I should not have gone in there, but you just do it and hope for the best.
Now let me ask you this: how did you get started being an urban explorer? How did that ever come into mind?
Well, I've never actually used the term urban explorer. That's kind of a term a lot of other people use. I've never really viewed myself as a quote-unquote urban explorer. I've just always been very curious as a kid. You know, every kid has that mindset of exploring and wanting to go, you know, check things out and go on adventures. So I like to call, you know, going out and viewing things, I like to call those adventures. That's kind of the theme of my channels, going on adventures. Because, you know, as a kid, you're curious and you like to be goofy and you like to have fun and view things. So I've kind of always tried to take that approach with my videos and exploring and kind of do more of like an adventurous, like kid-like aspect. Just, I'm a grown-up kid, so that's kind of the mentality. And if you watch my videos, you'll notice there's definitely a lot of humor in the videos.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that first struck me about you. Like I said, you seem like kind of a pretty down-to-earth, low-key guy. You know, you seem like a guy that you know, you're just really enjoying what you do, and I'm kind of jealous of you. You know, I'm kind of jealous that you get a chance to go be a kid in a lot of different places throughout the world.
Well, obviously, I'm at Disneyland, so I think that transcends into that as well. I mean, it's 20 minutes before it closes at Disneyland, and I'm doing an interview on the right next to the Mark Twain boat in front of Haunted Mansion.
No, you're cool, man. Now, let me ask you, have you ever, you stumbled upon a bunch of things, there was one thing that you did in the Lehigh Acres video that I was like, oh, man, I feel bad for him. You drank some water out of a hose in the video.
And living down here in
South Florida, I know that that stuff is no good out of a hose. have you ever got food or sick or anything like that?
I can actually still taste that water. That was some pretty nasty water. I think if I would have let the hose run for a little bit first, it would have been okay, but I think that water was so stagnant. It was pretty disgusting.
I was like, no, don't do it.
Yeah, anyone that's ever followed my videos knows that I have an obsession with seeing if water works. So usually if a water fountain does work, I usually drink from it. It's just a bad habit.
All right.
That one just happened to work, which is weird, and it worked, but the water was on, so, you know, camera in hand, you must drink the water.
Fair enough. Have you ever been injured or hurt or anything in some of your adventures?
No, knock on wood, I've been pretty lucky with injuries, you know, other than a stubbed toe or like a twisted ankle that goes away 2 days later, nothing really to write home about, nothing major. I've been pretty blessed so far and snooping around places.
Now, you stumble upon a bunch of things in your videos. You find some different things or some abandoned things. Have you ever found anything of value? Like, have you ever seen anything like a money pot or anything?
I've never seen an actual money pot. I've definitely stumbled on things that were worth money, you know, antiques or something that you could probably take and sell on eBay. But I just always had the philosophy to leave things where they lie. Because I always figure that if I go there and I see something cool, obviously, the person that was there before me had the same mentality, so I'm just leaving it for the next guy. You know, I just basically do the video of it, and I got it on video. A lot of people do leave those kind of comments under the video saying, oh, did you take that? Do you ever take anything? I never have. I just kind of leave it and let time take over and see what happens and leave it for the next person to enjoy if somebody else stumbles upon it.
Interesting.
The problem with a lot of abandoned places is usually after a couple of years, there's really nothing left to see other than graffiti and a lot of missing parts, like a lot of scrappers will get involved and strip places out of like copper, and you know, people go in and spray paint and all that. So I try not to really take anything, and I really try not to like damage anything. Just leave it as it is. With you know, the graffiti aspect as well. Some graffiti is cool, but a lot of it really isn't up to par. So a lot of people practicing graffiti a lot of times tend to destroy places pretty quickly.
You know, it's funny to sit here and talk to you after listening or watching your videos last night, because it seems like you really enjoy, and you're kind of a lighthearted guy, and you and your buddies kind of hang out with me. But this is, you're really very, I don't know if the word serious about this. You're very in tune to the way the building is and the history and things like that. It's very interesting to hear you talk about, I mean, you really enjoy doing what you're doing, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, yeah, I definitely enjoy it. As far as, I mean, I do a minimal amount of research. There's definitely a lot of people doing what I do that do way more research and probably know more about the history of places than I do. Because I do so much, I travel so much, a lot of times I don't really have time to do in-depth research. But what I've discovered, the more people that subscribe to me and more people that follow my videos, a lot of people don't really like to be told 100% of the facts. A lot of people like to know the facts. Usually I'll give them, you know, I'll show them, give them a couple facts, and then just show them something. And usually by reading comments people leave, they will do the research basically for me and for everyone else, or they already know more information than I do. So really, it's, I use the word vicarious a lot. It's kind of like a vicarious thing where they're feeding off me and I'm feeding off their stuff after the fact. So even after I've been somewhere, I actually learn more about the location afterwards, after people start chiming in and they do their own research. Because I can never, 1,000 people watching a video in the first day, and those people are doing their own research. There's no way I could even hire a team to do that much research in one day. But everyone's just doing it because. So it's actually a really cool thing. That's one of the reasons I think the internet and YouTube is far more superior than television, and eventually television will just be obsolete. It's not interactive like the internet is.
Right. That's a very interesting, very wise way to go about your craft. I mean, you do the exploring, and you let your followers, subscribers do the research. It's very interesting.
Within reason. I mean, naturally, I'm going to share a little bit of insight, but, you know, every video, there's not been one video I haven't learned something 3 months after I put it out. Somebody chimes in, and it's like, wow, I didn't even know that. Someone's got some little tidbit, or somebody has an inside. They knew somebody that worked at a certain place or somebody that lived there. There's always interesting facts that come to the surface, you know, post-video.
What's the craziest place you've ever been to? To be honest, the history part was interesting to me. Like that Branch Davidian one, that's pretty interesting to me, just because of the history involved in that. The vacation movie, that was interesting to me. What's the most interesting? What's your favorite video besides the Disney? What's the favorite ones you did?
That's really a tough one. I probably get asked that the most of anything. It just really depends because I'm really into movies. I do a lot of the movie stuff. Of course, like you were saying, the Disney. As far as abandoned stuff, there's been a few sketchy places. Like I did a high-rise building down in the panhandle of Florida that was super dark and scary, this huge arena. That was probably one of the scariest places. But I've done probably 40 or 50 movie locations, and I'm such a huge 80s movie nerd that the movie stuff for me is just, that takes a lot of research. I definitely do the most research on the movie locations, trying to find the spots and pinpoint the exact angles and all that. Those are probably the most difficult videos to do are definitely the movie locations.
Huh. Interesting.
Hey, Adam, this is Carl the Madman, man. I want to ask you a question for my daughter because she's got stage fright and, you know, she'll shoot a video with me, but she won't come on the radio.
Okay.
For a nine-year-old girl, you know, who's recently gotten very into what you're doing, and, you know, we've started doing a little bit of it ourselves. She wants to know what tips you could give her, you know, to do what you do. What tips do you have for her, you know, to go out and explore things? I know it's a pretty big question.
No, it's not big at all. I think the key is definitely the one thing she has going for her is that she is a child and she has that mindset and curiosity of a child, and I think that's what a lot of people are lacking, adults lack. You know, some people take that childhood attitude as they get older, but, you know, a child already has that instinctively. I think you tagged me or you posted a video you guys did on my Facebook wall. Am I correct? I think that was you that posted that on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched that. That was really cool. You guys seemed really excited or just kind of showing normal stuff. And I think what a lot of people miss is the fact that sometimes even the most normal, what seems mundane things to some people are really exciting. And that's what that was. Like, she was showing a bush and showing, like, a trash can. And that's the kind of stuff that I do in my video. It's like, it doesn't have to be the most intense, epic, you know, jackpot goldmine find to be exciting, because everything is exciting if you make it exciting. You know, everything is new and fun. So I think she's already got that aspect in there. So, and it's cool to see someone of that age into it. It's cool that she watches my stuff and definitely tries to emulate. So it's definitely pretty cool experience, man.
It's pretty cool, man. I got to thank you as well, because, you know, as I said to London earlier, you know, in the world we live in today with, you know, video games and whatnot, it's been a real treat for me to, you know, get out and, you know, do some of this with her and, you know, just spend some time with her doing something actually we both really love to do. So, you know, I want to really thank you for that, man. And
she
watches your videos and she just giggles away, you know. I'm laughing, but she's, like, giggling away in the corner. It's great.
I think the key, like you were saying, man, is just get away from the TV, get away from the video games, and just go outdoors and see and do something. You know, I think that's just the main gist of it. Just somebody asked me a long time ago, I think the question on Twitter or something asked me, how do you do what you do? And my response was, get off the couch. You know,
absolutely.
Pretty simple. Just,
absolutely. It's so funny that Carl says that, because he talked about it last night after we were talking about you coming on the show and whatnot. And he said today, you know, him and his daughter are doing it. And I was like, I got my camera on. I have a 7-year-old son who was watching videos with me. So we're going to do a little of it too. So I think it's a really cool thing. Before I let you
awesome,
go, I only got a couple more questions for you, man.
All right.
You seem like an artsy kind of guy. I see a lot of photo taking, because even in your videos, you'll show still pictures of some things, some pictures that you've taken. You seem like a kind of an artsy guy. What do you do with the pictures that you take? Do you do something special with those, or do they go to an Instagram account? What do you do?
I have an Instagram, but I honestly, man, I am the worst photographer in the history of existence. Luckily. The beauty of Instagram is you can take someone who has no talent and make it seem like they have talent. I think that's why Instagram is probably one of the biggest photograph websites in the world and the biggest, one of the quickest rising social networks in existence. And honestly, the reason I started doing video, it's funny you should mention that, is because so many people go to abandoned places and take photographs that just look really awesome, and I never could comprehend, you know, exposure and lighting. I have no idea. I just pick up the camera. It's easier for me to just point it at my face and just show something in the background than it is for me to, you know, learn about how to take a picture the correct way. So that's how I started doing videos. And
do you watch your videos, Adam? Because I know when I'm on video, I mean, I'm probably one of the uglier dudes on the planet. Do you ever, like, I don't know if I could watch myself on video. Were you a little, like, at first, were you a little gun-shy about watching your videos, or was it always been
absolutely,
like, whatever?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I first started, I started the second channel about a year and a half ago, which is the vlog channel. That was the toughest, because that one is all my face the whole time, with the exception of a few shots of other stuff, and it's all unedited. So I battled with that for a month or so before I actually started doing it. And since I started it, I haven't missed a day yet. So I think I'm on 667 or 668 in a row. But I mean, for two or three weeks before that, it was definitely tough. Practiced it a couple times, thought, man, does anyone really want to see my face this much? Well, with the other stuff, because it's edited, you can always edit out mistakes. But I think doing the daily vlog every day has definitely helped me get a little more, you know, un-camera shy.
Sure.
So it's not, you get used to it.
What's next for you, Adam? Where do you go from here? Are you talking to any TV, you know, TV executives, or where do you go from here, Adam?
Yeah, I've been approached a few times about the television thing. The problem with most television aspects, it's usually someone contacting you to come up with an idea that they want to pitch, which basically means they want to take your idea, and you have to come up with some kind of a game plan, go to a meeting, and then hopefully it gets approved. And like I was saying earlier about the television aspect, I really think television is on the way out. I know it's kind of a bold statement, But it seems like all these reality shows, which are the number one shows on TV, are basically just YouTube videos, with, you know, that are on television. It's basically the YouTube format that's being brought over to TV. And if all these, you know, television networks are going to YouTube, quote-unquote, celebrities for content, you know, what does that tell you? It obviously means that Internet is going to be the next television.
Sure. Very interesting.
So, I'm not opposed to the television aspect, but it would definitely have to be something that I was really into.
Sure.
I don't think what I do would really work on TV, because there's too many hands in, like, you know, too many hands in the puppets. And right now it's just pretty much me. If I have the idea and I do it and people like it, you just go with it. Once you've got 20 people and producers and directors telling you what to do and someone else is editing, so right now I do everything myself. Once somebody else starts editing, it can be a whole different ballgame and not what you want to do. And so I'm not really super stoked on the television aspect of it. Can you hear that trash can? That's a trash can. Guy emptying the trash, going by me, right next to me. It's really loud, but I'm sure you can hear. I'm sure you hear all the random tourists walking by as well. So it's pretty cool out here at night. Another little Disneyland tip. You always want to come out to Disney about an hour before close. It's like the best time to hit the park. Because you get the trash cans riding by. Here comes another one. You got a trash can careening by my feet here. But yeah, the park is actually closing right now. So I'm actually in the park past close. They're starting to flood everybody out. But I think I got a couple more minutes before I've heard it.
I will get you out as soon as I can. What editing program do you use to edit your videos? Is there like a specific one that you use? Or?
My older one, I had a regular laptop. And about a year and a half ago, I bought a MacBook. And I just use iMovie, which is the most generic layman's version of any editing software on Mac, but it's all I need. I don't do any fancy effects, and the stuff I do is pretty straightforward. So I just use iMovie, and I film with a Canon T2i DSLR for my main channel, and then for my blogs, I use my iPhone. I have an iPhone 5, so I just do it. If you're familiar with my blogs, it's all unedited. The difference, I have two channels. The difference between my one channel and the main channel is the main channel stuff is actually edited, a little bit different type of content, but it's all edited, little voiceovers, and where the vlog channel, the Daily Woo channel, is all one take. So if you watch all 667 of those, there's not one edit in any of it. It's all one take, just from start to finish, whether it's 2 minutes long or whether it's 15. It's just go, go, go. So whoever says whatever in there ends up in there. And so I kind of like it, man. It's cool. It keeps me on my toes.
Absolutely. Now, last question before I give you the floor to tell everybody where they can find you. How many adventures have you been on, and what is next? What is the thing you're working on next? Obviously Disney, but what else?
Well, Disney's more of kind of a hobby. I just come out. You know, if I'm in California, I like to come out and just hang out. I don't really film a lot. I've done a few videos out here. I have a buddy that lives out in California. He has a YouTube channel that concentrates 90% of it. His content is from Disneyland. So I try to tread lightly and not really tap into his, you know, his domain of the Disneyland stuff. He knows a lot more than I do. So I just come out here just to hang out and ride the rides and meet up with people and stuff. But as far as you were asking about how many videos I've got on my main channel, I think I'm about 270. So I got about 270 on the main channel. And then my blog channel is 600-something days, 700 days, something like that.
There's a lot of
content, man, on there. Especially the main channel's got a lot of time to, if you were to go back and watch all the videos, it would take you a while, for sure.
That's incredible.
I went back to your very first videos, and, you know, I'm like 10 or 12 in, and, you know, I plan on it. I'm going to work my way right up to being
current. Oh, man. Excellent, man. That's cool. That's cool. You'll see the progression from day one to now, for sure.
Yep. Oh, yeah, I noticed it right away. Even just through the first 10 videos, you can see it progressing. I'm enjoying it so much. I'm curious to see that progression, you know. And, you know, when you first introduce your intro video and your song and all that, you know, I'm just such a big fan now, man.
Excellent, man. I'm really glad you enjoy it, man. It means a lot to me.
Hey Adam, listen. I told Carl I was going to ask you that. I was going to demand this next time you're down here in Florida, Southwest Florida specifically. I'd love to go out with you and do a little do a little exploring with you. I think it'd be a good time. And I got first half here.
Absolutely, man. I would definitely be down for that. I should hopefully be back in Florida by 1st of June, June 1st, June 5th, something like that.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, I follow you on Twitter. I follow you. I subscribe to your channel now, the whole shebang, my man. So we'll stay in touch. I want to have you back on. I want to have you back on a lot more than I, you know, Carl got me hooked on you, so we're going to have you on a lot. We're going to follow Adam the Woo, and we're going to follow your event. Before I let you go, I don't know if someone's getting murdered behind you or what, and it sounds like someone's getting choked out.
Well, you know, like I was saying, I'm actually standing in front of the Haunted Mansion, and if you're familiar with Disneyland, anyone that's listening, Splash Mountain is right next door to Haunted Mansion. So there are people that are taking that, it's, you know, incredible drop down Splash Mountain, and they're screaming. So you've probably been listening to people screaming the whole time, just probably coming pretty prolifically through the speakers. So there is about
okay,
a Yeah, that no one is being murdered here. We're just all having a good time.
Fair enough. Adam, I want you to do me a favor. Tell everybody where they can find you. All your channels, Facebook, Twitter, okay. Instagram. You got the form, my man. It's all yours.
All right. Well, you can always go to my website, which is adamthewoo.com. Once you're there, you can see my most recent videos as well as find my two YouTube channels, which is YouTube.com/AdamTheWoo and then YouTube. I don't know if it's backslash or forward slash. One of those slashes. YouTube, the Daily Woo. So you got Adam the Woo and the Daily. I always say backslash, but I think it's actually front slash. Anyway, just all you got to do is go on YouTube and type in Adam the Woo or the Daily Woo. And those are both my YouTube channels. One is my edited adventure channel, and one is my daily vlog channel. And then I've got Instagram, Adam the Woo, Twitter, Adam the Woo, and then Facebook, forward or backslash, the Daily Woo. And that's my Facebook. Those are the three social networks that I check 18,000 times a day. I have a smartphone, so I'm on Instagram constantly, and as soon as I get off the phone with you, I'm probably going to check my Instagram account. So Instagram me and Twitter me and Facebook. Honestly, Twitter is probably the most bizarre to me. Like, I just can't – I have a lot of people follow me on Twitter, but for me, I think Instagram is the wave of the future. I think Instagram is on its way up and Twitter is on its way down. Somebody was telling me – recently that last year Twitter's revenue went down like 30% in the last year.
Holy cow.
based on Instagram jumping up so fast, and I'm sure Facebook is probably still gaining momentum as well. So I'm curious to see how Twitter is in 5 years compared to now. But it's still viable now. So definitely hit me up on Twitter.
Adam, how did you get Adam the Woo? Where did that come from?
Adam the Woo means absolutely nothing. It basically started, and I used to work at a Walmart supercenter, and I used to take the bus to work from my apartment to work, and I have a lot of downtime waiting for the bus. And inside Walmart, this is like early 90s, they used to have these little stamp kits that you would take tweezers, and you would take these little rubber stamps and put them for like a return address stamp pad, and you could create different names. And I was just bored. So I just changed my name around and came up with all these different names, and one of them was Adam the Woo. So I used to use that as my return address stamp, Adam the Woo, and then my former address. And then when eBay started, I started selling stuff on eBay, and I used Adam the Woo as my eBay account, which is still up, even though I haven't sold anything on eBay in a decade. So there is still an Adam the Woo eBay account. I used to sell a bunch of stuff on eBay. And then all the social networks started, you know, Facebook and all that stuff, even MySpace before Facebook. And I would just use that. Yeah, I would use that as that name. So naturally, when I started doing YouTube, that was my name.
Fair
so
enough.
It really has, Adam. You know, everybody assumes it has a meaning, but it really means absolutely nothing. But it works. So.
And it's a catchy name, and you're not going to forget it, because I'll never forget it again. Adam, coming on, man. Travel safely when you get back to Florida. You know, let's get together and have a beer, go adventure somewhere, and I'll have you back on the show 100 times over, all right,
Martin? All right, sounds good, man. I'm going to let you go and go get a Dole Whip really quick before the park closes.
Fair enough. Adam, take care, bud. Travel safely.
All right, man. All right, have a good one, guys. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Carl, that was cool stuff, man. Adam the Woo, the adventurer, the urban adventurer. He said it was interesting because he said he doesn't use that terminology. It seems to be something that caught on for him. He doesn't use it himself. But very, very cool, very down-to-earth guy, very relaxed. It's night and day going from Mark Pavlich at 100 miles an hour to Adam the Woo, who, you know, it was funny to me because watching the videos last night, I really got an impression that he was going to be kind of a goofy guy, somebody that really was kind of always – you know, just kind of lighthearted and joking and laughing. And, but you know what? He's very serious about what he does, and he really takes it seriously as far as, like, the history and, like, making sure he preserves the spot he's at for the next guy. That was something he said. The person that was there before me left it and had the same mindset that I have, and I want the next person behind me to feel the same. So I thought that was really, really cool. Really cool interview. Well done, Carl. Way to set that up. That was awesome.
I really enjoyed that too. That was great. You know, one thing I think he has in common with Mark is, you know, his passion, you know, for what they both do. You know, they both share a tremendous amount of passion in what they do. You know, I've been watching Adam the Woo a little bit longer than you, but not much. I'm a new fan. I've been watching his daily vlogs as well, and watching the daily shows. You know, that was pretty much, you know, that's who we had on the air tonight, was the real Adam the Woo.
Right. Yeah, no, I really enjoyed that, Carl. I was watching a bunch of his videos. You know, you told me a while ago that he was coming on, so I wanted to, you know, I didn't want to go in blind and whatever. So I was going to, you know, do a little bit of research. And before I knew it, I have a setup that I can hook my iPad up to my television, and I can watch stuff right from my iPad onto the TV. Before I knew it, I was going through, like, you know, 20 videos. And I'm like, you know, didn't become, like, show research anymore. It became like, I'm a fan. I enjoy what this guy does. I enjoy his lightheartedness. I enjoy his little kidness that he, you know, enjoys going out and, you know, and I would get some questions and some things that I was curious about, but I really enjoy it, man. I really had a good time, and I really would like to have him on more. And, you know, I would like to talk to your daughter sometime if she was ever down after she goes out and explores and see what she feels about it.
She's got two videos up on her YouTube channel right now.
I think that's very, very cool, man. I think I wasn't kidding when I said that, you know, my son and I, he's watched a couple of videos of me. And he's like, Daniel, let's go do that. So, you know, I guess unknowingly, Adam's kind of been an inspiration to both of us to spend a little more time with our kids. He doesn't have any kids, apparently. I didn't ask him that, but I'm assuming. I don't see any kids or any references to kids, but. You know, I mean, I guess you can take whatever you want out of it. The guy has absolute passion, and he does a really cool. He's got a really cool gig going on, man. I had a lot of fun with him.
Yeah, right on, man. Yeah, so did I. Great night. I had one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, man. We've been looking forward to this for a while, huh?
I have. Yeah,
I don't.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I don't think I have anything to follow up after that, man. I can't follow up with Adam the Woo, Mark Pavlich. Are you kidding me? And unless we get your daughter on here to talk to Trump them all and tell us about her two adventures, then I think I'm done, my man.
her two adventures, yeah. Well, I took her out to a ghost town, that's like, 30 miles from here. It's pretty high up in the mountains, and I never really thought it through. It was kind of rainy, and, you know, that's one thing, who cares about the rain. But by the time we got up to this ghost town, there was still, you know, 2 feet of snow on the ground, and it was actually raining really hard, so we couldn't really, even if we got out of the van, we couldn't have gone, you know, checking out any of the stuff, because there was just too much snow. So, you know, that was our little adventure, our adventure in the van. We'll go back this summer, though. I found an old... there's an abandoned mine, or not a mine, a mill. We're going to go check that out next week. But, you know, I'm having fun. I actually love doing this, too. I say it's all my daughter, but, you know, it's probably pretty equal. You know, I think we're both really enjoying what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because I follow a lot of abandoned places on Twitter, and I like abandoned pictures. I'm always, like, thinking, where did this place start? Who is, like, in one of the videos I watched, she went to an abandoned campsite that's down here, he meaning Adam, went to an abandoned campsite down here in Florida. And, you know, at one time he says the person he's with, Amy, is her name. I think it's Amy. I believe it's Amy. He says, that's where somebody slept. Where do you think the bed was? And where do you think the dresser was? And I was picturing that in my head. I got like this mental picture of what they were doing. And, you know, that's the kind of, I enjoy that kind of stuff, like the history of, and, you know, I'm really kind of a history buff. And another passion of mine is metal detecting, and I have a metal detector on order, and you know, because I want to find history, not because I want to find gems and whatever, but I really would like to find a button from the Civil War. That would be super cool to me. Like, kind of dorky stuff.
Yeah.
But,
no, that's pretty cool. I've always actually wanted one of those things myself.
Yeah, it's weird because, you know, it gets me out of, you said it best, it gets you out of the house, and, you know, you get your chance to spend some time with your daughter, man. These kids are growing up so quickly, before you know it, she's off to college, and you're like, where did this time go? So, you know, in order just to get out of the house for an hour or two to metal detect and to look at an abandoned building is pretty, pretty cool stuff. And without even knowing it, you know, Adam the Woo has inspired the both of us to get our butts off and spend a little more time doing some kid stuff to find that, you know, we're so busy with the rat race of our lives that we sometimes forget that we, you know, can do something fun once in a while too. So.
Yeah, man. Couldn't have said it better.
So with that, I think we're going to wrap up, Carl. I don't know who we have next week. We will talk off the air. We'll see if we can't find some maybe we should have like a section once a month, the Adam the Woo travel time or something. You know, maybe we should contact him and see if he'd be interested in doing something like that, because
we can always ask, you know, who knows where he'll be. It might be tough, you know, with you know, depending on his location and what he's up to, but you know, I'll touch base with him, and you know, I would love to do that for sure. And if he's into it, you know, by all means. We have actually nobody booked at this point for next week or any of the coming weeks.
That's okay.
JT hit us up, though. We should hit up JT, see if we can maybe land Mr. Ortiz or Ken Shamrock, or even talk to JT again. That's where we should head, I think.
You know what? I would love to talk to JT. There was a video going into UFC 172. They do a lot of that pre-stuff and the fan expos and things like that. And JT made an appearance there. He tweeted it out. I'm not sure if you had a chance to watch the video, that he in the video, he was able to talk to John Jones, and he was able to give him props for respecting Tito and things. JT, you know, you and I had this conversation after we had JT on. You know, by first appearance, by first look, JT is someone that you wouldn't think who would be, and this is so profiling, I guess. You know, he's got tattoos and piercings and sunglasses and the long hair, and he lives the party lifestyle. And you would not think that he is as well educated and well spoken and just an incredibly knowledgeable guy. But he is all those things, and I had a very good conversation. So I would love to talk to JT again too. So we'll definitely hit him up for sure.
I'll leave that ball in your park, man. Hit him up and see if he's good for next week.
Sure. And you know what? Who I did speak to the other day, and we haven't had him on in quite some time, but they're always a presence on Twitter and Facebook. I know the name Bragg and Jimmy has not left your mind, and I have talked to them recently, and they are willing to come back on. They got some stuff going on, so maybe we can get this.
We should catch up with those guys. It's been a while, yeah.
Absolutely. So, Carl, I got nothing else, and I had a really good time today. A lot of fun. It seems like, you know, again, the rat race of the work week and, you know, catching up and, you know, trying to kids and everything. And then at 11 o'clock, it's like a whole different world for me, man. I get to lose myself in a couple hours with you, and I always enjoy it. And tonight was no exception, man. I had a really, really good time. I learned a lot from always Mark Pavlich. He always gets me cranked up and you know, gets me fired up for MFC any time. And, you know, coming to the States, MFC 40 coming up in a couple weeks. But then we got a chance to kind of slow it down a little bit and talk to a guy who's just as passionate about his profession, Adam the Woo, and his travel. So good time tonight, man. I had a lot of fun. But with that, I am Jason Lunnan. Excuse me. He is Carl the Madman Mortensen. This is Bogard Fight Radio on the MMA Madhouse Productions channel. We will be right here next week, next Tuesday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. For Carl the Madman Mortensen, I am Jason. For Adam the Woo, Mark Pavlich, and everybody at MMA Madhouse, I am Jason London. Have a good night. We will see you next week. We make it rock!
Okay, people, time to disperse. Party's over.
We got all the stupid, 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 we got